Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am your host this morning, Michelle Berquist, and I'm pleased as punch to share with you who our leading lady is today, and that is Ms. Catherine Mattis, who is the book author on a subject that I think, well, let's just say, as many of us as professional women, I think many of us have experienced this. And her book title is Back Off, which I love, How to Deal with Business Bullies. Or actually, the title of the book is Back Off, Your Kick-Ass Guide to Ending Bullying at Work. So, Catherine, are you there this morning? And welcome.
I am. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
I'm catching you early on a Monday morning, but is there any other time of the day when we could schedule this and get it done, right? It has to be a Monday morning.
Right, right.
Exactly. Well, I know you're a busy lady, and it's like I'm so excited to have you on the show because I need to share, Catherine was one of our panelists at our CEO executive panel forums last week in the Orange County, California area, and I knew she'd be a delight, so let me just pump you up a little bit, Catherine, but she was an absolute delight on our panel. I mean, we could have gone probably five more hours on the subject, and I don't mean to make light of this subject because it's a really serious subject, and I know, you know, if you ask probably any professional woman or woman in business, I think at some time in our careers or even in business, if we own our own business, we've come across a bully in business. I mean, is that kind of a fair statistic, Catherine? I mean, is that pretty much, is there like a number out there of how many women come across bullying in the workplace?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people definitely have experience dealing with somebody who's aggressive at work. A couple of research studies in the U.S. have shown that between 25 and 35% of people feel bullied at work. So that's quite a large number to have a quarter of the workforce out there feeling bullied. And more often it's women that feel bullied than men, you know, simply because they're not in the same ranks as men most of the time. So, yeah, they call it the silent epidemic.
Is that what the silent epidemic? And I mean, and tell me,
yeah.
Because, you know, because I think people get misunder. You know, I went and looked up, you know, what bullying is, but, you know, you're the subject matter expert on it. And it's like, you know, people get bullying in the workplace a little confused sometimes, right, as opposed to what it really is. I mean, can you describe, I mean, what really is bullying in the workplace?
Yeah, sure. So when we're talking about bullying, we're not talking about someone who's a little rude to you sometimes. We're not talking about somebody who maybe yelled at you at one time in a staff meeting, but you moved past it and were able to have a relationship from there. We're talking about repeated, ongoing, aggressive communication that's focused on humiliation and manipulation. And ultimately what happens is the target of that behavior feels a lot of psychological damage, things like anxiety, depression, of course, sleepless nights, you know, fear of interaction with this person, and also the people around it who witness the behavior feel some of those same feelings. So even if you're not necessarily feeling like you're bullied at work, if you're witnessing somebody else getting bullied, that is going to bother you as well.
And I mean, tell me, it's like, what are some of the things that people might see when you say it's, you know, repetitive, you know, humiliation, that kind of thing? It's like what we talked about, and this was, you know, kind of, I was surprised we didn't go further at the panel forum, but on the social media front, just what people can post online about people today. You know, you look at kids in schools where it's like Facebook is so prevalent with what kids will post about each other, but it happens with adults. I mean, right? I mean, do you find that that's a piece to do with bullying?
Absolutely. You know, there's when you're looking at a computer screen, it's sort of easy to get more aggressive than you might in person. You know, there's this feeling of this, you know, you'll be anonymous once you hit send, even if your name's attached to it, or even if you post something on your own wall and on Facebook about somebody else. You know, so the lack of human reaction, or the lack, you know, you can't see the human reaction. So people are more inclined to get a little nasty online, and may not be so nasty in person. In terms of other behaviors that include, or that, you know, bullying includes, are things like, you know, real just full-on aggressive communication, getting in someone's personal space, rolling your eyes when they're talking, or pointing at them, you know, the standard aggressive communication. And then the other two areas that make bullying a little bit more difficult to grasp sometimes are humiliation, so doing things like spreading rumors, socially isolating somebody, you know, making them feel uncomfortable at work. And then the third area is manipulation, which is, of course, very under the radar and real hard to identify sometimes, but doing things like taking somebody's core responsibilities from them without giving them a reason why, giving them a poor performance evaluation, even though they may not be such a poor performer, you know, so, or giving somebody deadlines that are impossible to meet. So when you wrap all those behaviors up, you have bullying.
It's such a hot topic, and it's like, you know, again, I know women who have said that, you know, my boss and my previous, you know, corporate career, or even, I mean, this one was shocking to me, you know, some women business owners that, you know, you interact with will say that some of their vendors or their clients have been bullies in business, where it's like, you know, favorable terms, but, you know, they're kind of coming around. I don't know if that would be considered as bullying, but I kind of consider that. I had a client who shared that her vendor was, you know, threatening to take away this or that, I mean, from a very threatening and kind of manipulative standpoint based on, you know, their relationship as a client and a vendor. I mean, have you seen any examples of that where it's like for women business owners, sometimes if it's a male-dominated industry, those kinds of things can come about?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. If it's somebody you're interacting with regularly and they're treating you that way regularly, then yes, I would say that's bullying. I hesitate to say, you know, if a vendor is aggressive at one time, you know, that's not bullying. But if it's an ongoing part of the relationship, then absolutely, that's bullying. And it's unfortunate that people do business that way, that people can be so aggressive with each other like that at all. I mean,
that's what you deal with every day. And I got to ask, I mean, do you find that, you know, the kind of scenarios usually, you know, women find that they're bullied more in the workplace than men? I mean, is that just a general statistic that more women?
Yeah, the research shows that 40% of the time it's a man is 60% of the time a man is a bully, and 40% of the time it's a woman. But when it's a woman that's the bully, she's often picking on other women. So I think that's really interesting. So women tend to pick on other women when they're a bully. I just think that's interesting. I think that has to do with feeling threatened. You know, you're going to be more threatened by another woman, perhaps, than by a man, and those kinds of things. So,
well, and tell me, how did you even come up with the book idea? I mean, I want to ask you as an author, it's like, how did you, because you, this is like you're a consultant, so your specialty is dealing with bullies in the workplace. Is that what Civility Partners does specifically?
Yeah, so I worked for a nonprofit organization and was the HR manager and dealt with a bully in my workplace at that time, and started going to grad school and ended up doing all of my research in grad school on this topic. It was sort of therapeutic to try to understand this person and why he was acting that way, and why, you know, there are 33 of us in this organization. We all let him act that way. Nobody stood up to him. And so then started the business Civility Partners from there. And Civility Partners is focused on building positive workplaces. And I think that's, you know, if you're going to remove bullying behaviors, you have to replace them with something. So ultimately, our goal is to replace bullying with a positive workplace. And in terms of the book, you know, when you look online, if you're feeling bullied and you go online and start to Google workplace bullying, you'll find a lot of people will tell you that it's not your fault. There's nothing you could have done. The bully's a psychopath who was out to get you. And I don't think that's the right information. I think that not that anybody deserves to be bullied or that it's their fault, but you're participating in a relationship, and so you do have the ability to change that situation and change the relationship. And so that's where the book came in. I really wanted people to understand that if you have the right information, that you can do some things to solve the problem, and you aren't helpless.
I think that's why I have a copy of your book, by the way. I bought a copy, and it's like I was amazed at the tips and the suggestions and the if this, then this kinds of things that you laid out in your book. I mean, one of them that I thought was awesome is just, you know, the different myths about workplace bullying, you know, how people kind of misinterpret, you know, whether it's just, you know, somebody being mistreated or is it really, you know, total harassment and intimidation and manipulation. And I guess from that standpoint, it's, you know, how when you went about your research and maybe give a client example without, of course, saying their name, but what has been a situation where you've seen workplace bullying? I mean, give us an example, and how did an individual maybe that you worked with, that how did they overcome, you know, the bullying? What was the scenario and how did they overcome it?
Well, normally I work with organizations, and I also coach people who have been identified as bullies. So I could tell you some stories of, you know, just people I've met along the way who have come up to me and told me that they were bullied. And ultimately, the best thing you can do, if I had to give one piece of advice, is ultimately just have to stand up for yourself. And as hard as that's going to be, because that person certainly creates a lot of anxiety for you, and you are fearful, and I understand that, empathize with that, but ultimately you have to overcome that and stand up for yourself. And that's the way that people deal effectively with bullies. And that's anecdotal, the evidence that I've collected myself along the way, as well as what the research says.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, speak more on that. It's like, you know, and I know I'm kind of like cutting you off, but it's like, what can somebody do if they feel like they're being bullied? I mean, to me, it's like, you know, we started on this conversation last week at the panel forum, which was, you know, should you approach human resources or not? Should you let somebody know? I mean, I personally have seen an example of someone in the workplace back in my commercial banking days that someone approached HR, and then all of a sudden, you know, they were persona non grata, because it's like they were a boat rocker. So I'm kind of curious what, you know, you would recommend if somebody is in a situation like that and they feel like they're being bullied. You know, first of all, does your company have an HR department? I would think would be important. If you're in a small business,
right.
It's a little different. But, you know, what would be the steps you'd recommend for someone to do?
Sure. The first step, again, is to stand up for yourself, you know, talk to the bully about it. And the important part about that conversation is you don't want to say anything like you're a bully, or, you know, you don't want to call them names or pass judgment on them. There's three steps to assertiveness. The first is to state what the problem is. The second is to state the consequences of their behavior. And the third is to offer a solution. So you would say something like, you know, hey, John, lately you've been picking on me a lot, I feel like, and at staff meetings, and give very specific examples of things that have happened to you. And then say the problem with doing that is that if you yell at me at staff meetings, then I lose credibility. The meeting gets off track. It's unprofessional. It sets the wrong tone. And therefore, in the future, I need for you to treat me with respect, or I need for you to not do X, Y, Z, so that it's very crystal clear you're giving facts about their behavior, as opposed to saying, I feel like you bully me. So that's the first step. If that doesn't work, and it might not, the bully may ignore you or decide that they're annoyed with you and go after you even more. And so word of warning, but you have to do that first. And then if it continues, start documenting the behavior, save any emails or things that you get from them as tangible evidence. And what you want to do is every time a bullying incident happens, you write down who saw, what was said, what were the details, and it needs to be very factual. Again, very factual. Don't write down what you felt about it. Just stick to the facts. And then when you have enough evidence, you take that to HR, or if you don't have an HR department, your manager, the owner, whoever it is, and show them the evidence and have a conversation that's very business oriented. It has to be about making the business case for addressing the behavior. Unfortunately, you have to leave your emotions out of that conversation as much as you can.
Isn't it really tough to leave your emotions out of it? I mean,
absolutely.
That's a tall order.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how do women approach, to go approach a bully when it's like things are so fueled and they might be so emotional about it? It's like, do you recommend someone take someone with them when they go and approach the bully, or is it strictly to be one-on-one and, not close the door? I'm just kind of curious, what would you recommend as a approach if someone's really concerned about their emotions in that scenario?
I would recommend trying to do it one-on-one if you can, just because if you bring another person, it will start to, the bully is going to start to get defensive right away because you've brought somebody else with you. And the goal is to get the bully to understand you and listen to you. So if you're doing things that cause them to, shut you out before you've even gotten a word in, then obviously that's not going to work. But I definitely understand the feeling that it may be helpful to bring somebody, or if you're even worried about your safety, if somebody has gotten in your face a little, they're too close, then definitely bring somebody for safety reasons as well. The other thing is you could try practicing at home a bit and have a family member pose as your bully and have them help you get some of those emotions out and take a deep breath and try your hardest to have that conversation.
For individuals that are going through this, I know I cut you off earlier. It's like, once they have maybe approached a bully and it doesn't stop, I know you were saying next step was, and then I interjected. So where were you going with that before I
interrupted? Oh, no worries. The next step was to talk to HR. So when you talk to HR, you want to have all of those, the facts and things that you can make a business case regarding the person's behavior. And the other two pieces for that are, definitely talk about the bully's behavior as much as possible and don't talk about you. You don't want to say things like, this person makes me feel a certain way, or you want to focus on the bully's behavior, and you also want to offer solutions if you can. So you want to appear like a solution-oriented team member who's done what you could to resolve the bullying first. So let the HR manager know, here are the five things that I did to resolve this on my own. It's not helping. I'm here to get your assistance, and have in mind what you'd like the outcome of the conversation to be. You don't want to show up and appear as though you're just complaining about somebody's behavior. You need to be business focused, and you need to understand what you want from that conversation, so that you can relay that to the HR manager, whether it be that the department needs communication coaching, or you're filing a grievance, or you're asking for a transfer. What are you asking for?
And I'm kind of curious from your perspective, from the HR, your HR background, what do you find that should be a company's kind of policy, if you will, or what should a company do if they're approached? Because, I guess I look at it and think most HR departments will go, okay, we'll put it on file. Are they legally bound to act when someone's presented with this kind of like sexual harassment, that there's a legal, step that a company needs to take if they're alerted to this, if they come across it?
Unfortunately not. Currently, harassment and discrimination are certainly illegal, and those fall under protected class, though. So if somebody's what we call an equal opportunity bully, then that is very legal, and it's unfortunate. We're working on laws to get that changed, because it shouldn't just be protected class that's covered from bullying. It should be everybody should be covered from bullying. So no, there aren't any laws requiring employers to address bullying. However, it's no different than sexual harassment. All of the problems that sexual harassment bring are all of the same problems that bullying brings. So Treat it just like a sexual harassment complaint. Do an investigation, document your investigation, and make a decision based on your investigation. And I have had companies call, and they did do that. They did do an investigation, and they found that maybe the bullying wasn't, that the target was the only person who felt bullied, but they still called and asked me for training, and they wanted to help their managers understand how to deal with it at a managerial level, and those are the right steps, being proactive.
Do you find that bullies know that they're being a bully? I mean, just across the board? Or do some people, are they not aware?
No, most people are not aware. Most people are aware because maybe they've been told that they're aggressive, or that they're, you know, maybe their manager has said, hey, you need to relax a little, people think you're aggressive, but they're really unaware of just how damaging their behavior is. And I've coached a few bullies along the way who they just don't get it. It's really about lacking communication skills and lacking social intelligence and lacking empathy. And bullies are often bullying because they're frustrated by something. And so they're just sort of lashing out without realizing. And you know, once in a while, I think people are purposefully bullying, but the research doesn't support that that's the standard. Most of the time, bullies are unaware of their behavior.
Interesting. And then, you know, from the flip side, so a company's perspective, you started to rattle off, and then I know we just didn't have enough time at the panel. It's like some statistics on how much workplace bullying impacts performance, productivity. I mean, what should a company be concerned with? And this is why, in my mind, as a company owner, that it's like it would get my attention to kind of be on the watch for this. It's like, you know, it really does impact, you know, how well the job gets done in a company. What are some of those fabulous statistics that you talk about that really is where it impacts a company based on this type of behavior? If gone.
What are some statistics about workplace bullying happening?
So performance, it's like, you know, the lost performance, productivity.
Gotcha.
Lack of
gotcha.
Morale,
yeah.
That kind of thing you were going into. I'm like, that's really an attention getter for companies. What are some of
those? Yeah, there's an ROI for having a positive workplace. When people are feeling fearful of somebody that they work with, they're not producing. They're not producing at top quality. It's affecting their customer service. You know, there's a lot of research that says that people who feel bullied even get PTSD because it's that traumatic. And it's like a black plague in your organization that if you're allowing workplace bullying, you're allowing the bully to take your organization down, you know, and so it you've got to focus on having a healthy workplace if you're going to be a successful company. There is an ROI attached to happiness at work, basically.
And do you find many companies that, you know, that they're actually aware that there's bullying going on, or are they, you know, they're shocked when they find out that it's like, oh, somebody in the workplace is doing this? I'm kind of curious from the companies you work with.
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on how in tune the leaders are with the masses. You know, if you're doing employee satisfaction surveys, absolutely, you should know if there's bullying or not. If you're doing 360-degree reviews, you would know if there's bullying or not. But ultimately, you should be able to just feel the undercurrent a little. You know, you should be able to recognize if teams are working at a top level or not. And if they're not working at a top level, bullying could be one of the reasons. Obviously, there could be a lot of reasons, but bullying certainly one. So you do need to be in tune with what's happening with your employees. If you're a successful leader, because that's the only way you're going to address it. And also, unless your employees are aware that, you know, workplace bullying could potentially be happening, and you put out an announcement that you've got an open door policy about that, the employees probably aren't going to come to you. So it's really important on the part of leaders and HR to put the message out to the employees that we are open to complaints about workplace bullying, and we're here to help you. Otherwise, you're not going to hear about it, and people will probably just leave and not tell you about it.
And then, you know, that's an interesting subject, because, you know, I know another colleague, and one that I wished had been on our panel the other morning, is, you know, she is an attorney that specializes in wrongful termination, you know, for the employee, not the employer. And, you know, again, without her telling stories, I'm fascinated from the standpoint that how common, she says, it's not sexual harassment. It's people feeling like they're, I mean, she doesn't use the term bully. I think she feels that they're just bamboozled in the workplace was a word she used. And I kind of equate that to bullying because, you know, people will say, I left because my boss was a jerk, you know, or I could think of a stronger word, but we're on the radio. Or maybe I can say, dickhead, you know, and it's like, you know, you talk about, you know, some of the different things in your book of why an individual might be targeted. And I'm kind of curious what those things are that maybe individuals can be aware of why, you know, a bully might not necessarily, well, target them. I mean, how are they, you know, in this scenario where it's like then all of a sudden they're bullied? What is it they're doing that causes someone to be able to do that?
Sure. And just to back up, it's 80% of people leave their job because of their boss. And so that's definitely a high number. In terms of reasons that you might be targeted, the biggest one is that you're likely a high performer or you're doing something that's threatening for the bully. So either you're a high performer, you're really well-liked. For me, when I think back to my situation after I was reading all this research about it, I came into this organization and started making a lot of changes. The bully had been there for about 14 years. That's threatening for him, for someone to come in and start making changes to his organization, you know. So that may be one of the reasons that you're bullied. Also, if you're shy or coming across as unassertive. So what happens is the bully may poke at you a little bit, yell at you, or do something that feels a little unprofessional, and you don't say anything, and therefore they walk away from that interaction thinking, well, they're not going to say anything. I'm going to maybe do that again. And then a couple weeks from now, they do it again, and you don't say anything, and then it just increases from there like a crescendo, you know, or then it becomes more frequent and more aggressive. So that's the other main reason is that you've got to stand up for yourself immediately. Otherwise, you're giving off the impression that you're not going to stand up for yourself.
Do you find that most individuals, you know, when you see how bullying, at least if someone feels they're bullied, it's like, can 90% of it be taken care of just by standing up and saying, this is not okay. This is not appropriate. One-on-one, you know, mano-a-mano, that's where it gets taken care of.
Yes, the trick is it has to happen up front, and that's where it's tricky because sometimes people act a little unprofessionally, or at first it's just that they're being a little uncivil, you know, and they're not necessarily being bullying, you know, bullying you, but they're just kind of treating you unprofessional a little, and you're kind of uncomfortable by that. And then over time, it turns into bullying. So you've got to nip it in the bud immediately. From the instant it feels a little unprofessional, you want to call them out and say, you know, that was a little unprofessional. I don't think you should treat me like that, or don't do that again. You know, let them know that you're willing to stand up for yourself, because then you make it difficult for them to bully you. You know,
well, and I think, too, it's like, I mean, I had a gentleman that I used to work with in banking, and this was after my fifth merger and acquisition between Security Pacific, National Bank, and Bank of America. But I do remember this one, I'll call him a dickhead. It was a man, and he was, you know, regional manager of the financial institution that I was coming into. And this guy just regularly would out people in staff meetings. In managers' meetings. And it's like, I just remember I was new. I came from Security Pacific. He was with B of A, and it was probably 90% women. You know, we were all VPs. And it's like, I remember sitting around this conference table. It was one of my second or third meeting at this point. And I'm just like, this guy is a total dickhead. I mean, we just say things about people's weekends or what their attire was like. And I just remember, you know, talking to some of the women, you know, after or before the meetings, and they were like, oh, you know, no one ever says anything. I'm like, this is crap, you know. And I just remember at one meeting, it's like I remember sitting at the meeting and going, you know, I come from a whole entire different bank, but I go, the things you're saying are just not okay. And I remember him looking at me like a deer in the headlights and going, I could tell no one had ever challenged him in a meeting, but I just said, you know, I wasn't angry about it. I just said, this is not okay. It's entirely inappropriate what you're saying. And at any rate, it's like he pulled me aside later because he was a, you know, superior to me. And I, you know, he started to say, don't you ever interrupt me in a meeting. I said, don't say things like that. You know, I said, I come from a whole different work environment, and it never happened again. But, you know, from my standpoint, I probably should have done it one-on-one, but it just irritated the crap out of me how he would talk about people. And I was surprised
that
he just shut down. Yeah, he shut down. And I think it was just because he'd never been challenged.
Well, you know, and the other thing that you bring up is when there's a lot of people or there's a group of people, you know, all those bystanders, everybody, if everybody agrees, moving forward, we're all going to call that person out when they act a certain way. That person has no choice but to change. So there's definitely power in numbers. And it can be hard to get people to work up the courage to do it. But if all of you agree, we're not going to let this person talk to us this way. And if he does, we're all going to make sure that we stand up for ourselves. You know, there's behavior modification going on there. So get your coworkers to agree to stand up as well, you know, if you're
and
being
I gotta
bullied.
Ask, I mean, is slapping somebody inappropriate? I'm just joking.
Yeah, now we're talking about workplace violence.
I know. Now it's like, yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want to just, before we get off, because we're on the downhill slide, but I do have a link, you know, on our radio show. If anybody's interested in getting the book, I put a link to your site. But if anybody wants to contact you, Catherine, how should they get a hold of you? Do you mind sharing your email or your phone number if somebody wants to give you a buzz and say, hey, here's, you know, maybe they're looking for some help or a company?
Sure. So I have two websites, Civility Partners with an S, Civility Partners. That's my company's website, so you can learn about our services there if you're interested. I also have a website called NoWorkplaceBullies.com, and that is a website that's just educational. It's got a lot of information about bullying and what it is and how to stop it. I try to build up a resources page with a lot of great articles and things. Actually, a lot of articles you could bring to HR, even if you wanted to make that part of your packet when you're complaining about bullying. And then certainly you can email me, Catherine@civilitypartners.com, and my phone numbers and things are all on the websites as well. So absolutely feel free to reach out. I'm happy to chat with somebody, whether they're feeling bullied and want some more advice or an organization who's looking for assistance. I'm happy to help.
Wow, and we got a link to your site as well. So, and then I see that people can order the book if they're wanting to. They can get the book on Amazon. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where else?
Well, you can get it from my website, but that will link you to Amazon. Also, the publisher sells it.
Okay.
And if you happen to live in San Diego, you can purchase it at Barnes & Noble. It's at some of the bookstores here in person.
And they must get an autographed copy, so they should contact you direct. Hey, listen, we're on the downhill slide. Any final thoughts that you want to leave our listeners who are, you know, I'm sure this is such just, gosh, you know, people have experienced this so much in business, but any final thoughts for all of our listeners that are kind of like wanting to know maybe what they can look out for in the workplace as far as watching for business bullies? What should somebody watch out for?
You know, that's a hard question because if you feel bullied, then you're bullied. You know, I could give you a list of 100 behaviors to look out for. If somebody's acting unprofessionally and aggressive, everybody knows it, and everybody needs to stand up for themselves. So if you're feeling like a target of workplace bullying, the best piece of advice I can give you is stand up for yourself, put up a good fight. But in the end, if you're not getting what you need, no paycheck is worth your dignity and your health and your mental health. So do what you need to do to take care of you. And if you're an employer who's listening to this show, you know, create a healthy workplace. It makes a huge difference in productivity and makes a huge difference in your employees' lives. And if people want to be at work and they enjoy the people they work with, they'll do great things for you. So it's all of our responsibility to end bullying and to stand up when somebody is being mistreated.
On that final note, I want to say thank you for being with us today. So, Catherine, thanks to our listeners.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening in today on Women Leading the Way Radio. We'll be back again next Monday at 9 a.m., not 8 a.m. So thanks for shifting it up. And all of you have a very fabulous week. Anyway, have a great day.
Thanks.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.